real joy. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a joy. This Christmas season and every day of the year, it is just a thrill to remember what God did in sending His own Son. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing. Father, what a joy to have your presence here with us this evening. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all those who are involved in the program tonight. Pray that you will give them thinking and understanding and remembering their parts. We know that everything they do will honor and glorify you. Thank you once again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing the first Noel. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. There are 6 verses. And I thought we'd sing just 4 instead of 6. Okay. Let's stand and sing the first Noel.
Thank you. Look at a candy cane. What do you see?
Stripes that are red like the blood shed for me.
Why for me, say, who sin, listen, Peter.
J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure.
Don't the star you see.
Jesus, my shepherd, is coming for me.
As a baby, Jesus came from his home above. He left his throne and who he was to teach us how to love. As a baby, Jesus came wrapped in swaddling cloth, willingly took on humanity, though he was one with God.
As a baby, Jesus came to one day grow to be the savior of the human race. People like you and me, as a baby, Jesus came as God's eternal light that will never be extinguished but forever shine out bright.
As a baby, Jesus came, the hope of eternal life, reconciling us back to God, giving meaning to our lives. As a man, Jesus died, his blood poured out for all, cleansing and forgiving us. For to this he was called.
Through it all, we can live on with Jesus Christ our Lord, the babe that came that first Christmas is what we thank him for.
Jesse tree is a tree that has roots that go back to the stories of the Old Testament, back to the very beginning. The branches stretch so high and wide that you can see the whole panorama of God's story from the first light of a star over Eden, the bright shining light over Bethlehem. It is named for Jesse, the father of David, the first royal branch in the tree of the Messiah to come. God revealed to David that it would be through his line, his sons, his family, that one would come that would reign forever. Throughout the years, David's sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons turned from God and loved sin more than their father. Their kingdoms fell, and it seemed as though the whole royal family tree of Jesse had been chopped off right at the roots. So, we hang the symbol of Jesse, a stump, the remains of a tree that was cut down. But our covenant, promise-keeping God, provided the way. He declared through Isaiah that there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah 11, 1 and 10.
And this is how our program will go. From Adam to the Messiah, each story points to the coming promise, the incredible, impossible gift, the glorious Christ. After each presentation of a promise fulfilled, we'll hang the ornament of each story on the branches of our Jesse tree, a testament to our covenant-keeping, people-passionate God, whose love unfolds like an endless gift down through the ages.
Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, I foretold the coming of the Savior. Inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, I wrote a book in the Old Testament called Isaiah. Allow me to read to you from my scroll. Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Out of chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. On the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. My ornament is a scroll on which I wrote about a Messiah who would come to save his people from their sins.
God's gospel story starts at the very beginning, where there was nothing at all. That is hard for us to understand because we create out of something. God started with absolutely nothing at all. He spoke into the black nothingness and created the heavens and the earth. Creation is so amazing that just one look at the wonder of it all tells us that God is real and powerful.
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
In the beginning, there is nothing, and God said, let there be.
And so, we hang the symbol of the earth to remind us of God's power over creation. David recorded in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard.
I am Adam. God created me from the dust of the ground. I took care of the beautiful garden and spent time with God. I could eat from every tree but one. God said it was not good that I should be alone, and he made a helper for me.
God formed me out of one of Adam's ribs. We were the first married couple. God blessed us and told us to fill the whole earth with children.
We had a wonderful time living with God in the Garden of Eden.
But Satan came in the garden to trick us. We were tempted and made a terrible decision by eating the fruit and disobeying God. It was a sad day when we were sent out of the garden.
God gave Adam and Eve some clothes made of animal skins, and in doing so, the first sacrifice was made. That pointed to the day in the future when Jesus, God's only Son, would be born into the world. He would come as a son in the family of Adam. The symbol we hang on the tree is an apple, reminding us that our sin would be covered by the blood of Jesus.
Genesis 6:5-8. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals, and creeping things, and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
I am Noah. I live with my wife and sons. When I was 500 years old, God called out to me and told me he was grieved with the wickedness of man. He told me of his plan to bring a flood and destroy everything that breathed in the world. He told me how to build an ark and what to bring inside it. When I was 600 years old, the ark was finished. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and all I could see was water. When we were finally able to leave the ark, God put a rainbow in the sky as a promise never to flood the whole world again.
God saved everyone who entered the ark. In Noah's day, the ark was the only way to be saved from God's judgment. Today, Jesus is our ark. The Bible tells us that those who are safe in Christ will be saved from God's judgment. The symbol we hang is the ark to remind us of Jesus who saves us from our sin.
Genesis 12:1-4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him.
I am Abram. God told me to go to a new land. On my journey, he made a covenant with me and told me I would be the father to a great nation. My wife Sarai and I are old and don't even have one child. But I trusted God, and so we packed up all we owned and followed the Lord's leading.
Genesis 21:1-2. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son, in his old age, at the time of which God has spoken to him.
My name is Sarah. When God told Abraham we would have a child, I laughed. I thought it was impossible to have a child when I was so old. But God kept his promise when he blessed us with a son that we named Isaac, which means laughter.
Abram believed without hesitation in the God who knows the names of all the stars and doesn't make mistakes. God renamed Abram as Abraham and Sarai as Sarah, which means father and mother of many nations. And so we hang the symbol of a tent and a camel to remind us to go where God calls us, just as Abram did.
God sent a son to Abraham and Sarah. He waited a long time on purpose, as he always had a reason behind everything he does. God wanted everyone to know that Isaac was born because of God's special promise, not because of anything they did in their own strength. We hang the symbol of a baby cradle to show us that everyone who believes in Jesus is adopted into God's family as one of Abraham's children. That is even more of a miracle because as sinners, we all deserve his punishment. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be forgiven of our sins and become a part of the family of God.
Genesis 22:1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you."
My name is Isaac. When I was still a boy, my father Abraham and I packed cut wood for an offering and began a trip.
God had asked me the unthinkable, to take my only son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. But my love for God was greater than the love for my son, and I trusted the Lord.
I asked my father, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And he told me that God would provide.
The Lord did provide. And just as Abraham had took out the knife to kill Isaac, God shouted his name and told him not to lay a hand on the boy. He knew that Abraham feared him, and there in the bushes was a ram. It was killed in place of Isaac. The symbol we hang on the tree is a ram, as this story is a picture of God's salvation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, our substitute.
Genesis 28:10-14. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth."
I am Isaac's son, Jacob. I tricked my brother Esau out of his birthright and my father's blessing. I left to escape my brother's anger. While on my journey, I had a dream. I saw a kind of ladder or stairway reaching up to the heavens. The Lord stood above it all. When I woke, I felt the Lord's presence. God had told me he would never leave me and always protect me.
Even in Jacob's sin, God's plan was accomplished. God planned for our salvation to come through the line of Jacob, all the way to Jesus. In John 1:51, Jesus told his disciples that he was the stairway that leads to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to through the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way for us to get to heaven. And so we place a symbol of a ladder on the tree.
I am Joseph, the son of Jacob, also called Israel. My father gave me a colorful robe as a gift because of his love for me. My older brothers became angry. They sold me into slavery, but God had a plan and turned the bad things in my life into good.
God used Joseph to save Israel so that one day Jesus would come from Israel's line and save us all. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." And so the colorful robe is the symbol for our tree, as it reminds us of the robe of righteousness that God gives us through his Son.
I am Moses. God used me to rescue his people from slavery. After walking through the desert, we camped by Mount Sinai. There, on Mount Sinai, the Lord gave me the Ten Commandments.
God protected Moses as a Hebrew baby from Pharaoh's order to kill all baby boys. As he grew, Moses fled Egypt. As the book of Hebrew tells us, he had an idea that God had a plan to save his people. Moses chose to live as one of God's people and trusted the Lord. By saving Israel, God's promise to Abraham was preserved so that one day Jesus would be born to save us too.
We hang the symbol of the Ten Commandments. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:7 that God wrote the law of the Ten Commandments to teach us what sin was. He also said it was our schoolmaster to teach us about Christ in Galatians 3:24. Once we know God's law and see how many times we break it, we realize that we are sinners who need a Savior.
I am Rahab. When spies came into our land, I helped them escape. I believe that the God of the Israelites is the one true God. When the Israelites conquered Jericho, me and my family were saved.
Rahab was a woman with a bad reputation, but God had a special plan for her life. She realized that God was the one true God, and by faith, she welcomed spies against her own country into her home. She risked her very own life. The scarlet cord Rahab hung from her window protected her and her family from the judgment God brought on Jericho. One day, her far-off grandson Jesus would die on the cross. His scarlet blood covers our sins, so that we too can be saved from the judgment of God. And so we hang the symbol of a scarlet cord.
My name is Ruth. When my husband died, I chose to take care of my mother-in-law, Naomi, and go with her back to the land of Bethlehem. I wanted her God to be my God. While gathering grain, a close relative named Boaz was kind to me. He promised to redeem and take care of me and Naomi. Together, Boaz and I had a son named Obed.
A redeemer in Naomi's day would buy back the land a widow had lost when her husband died. He would pledge to care for her. Jesus is our redeemer in an even greater way. By dying on the cross for our sins, Jesus paid the price to redeem us from the curse of our sin. When Boaz and Ruth's son Obed grew up, he became the father of Jesse, who became the father of David, who became king of Israel. The ornament to remind us of Ruth is a sheaf of wheat.
I am Samuel. God used me to choose a new king for Israel. I was impressed with how tall and strong Jesse's old son was, but God told me not to be fooled by an outward appearance. The one God had chosen was the youngest named David.
The symbol we hang is a horn of oil. As when Samuel poured the oil on David, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him and remained with him for the rest of his life. The Lord chose David as king because he was a man after God's own heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. This story points forward towards Jesus. Like David, Jesus was a man after God's own heart. Jesus obeyed his Father perfectly, and by his death he delivered God's people from their greatest enemies. Jesus came as a baby, born in a humble stable in the same town of Bethlehem that David came from. Jesus was born in the family line of David.
My name is David. I was a shepherd boy. People remember me for using a stone and a sling to kill Goliath. I ruled Israel as a king for many years. I was a sinner like everyone else, and I disappointed God in many ways.
The Lord chose David because he was a man after God's own heart. God promised to establish David's throne forever. David wrote many psalms or songs about his life or the nation of Israel and their relationship with God. The words to his songs can help us grow in our faith and walk through the hard times that we face in life. But more than that, David's psalms give us a hint of the Lord's coming salvation through Jesus. And some, like Psalm 22, our wonderful prophecies foretelling God's plan to save us through Jesus. We hang the crown as a reminder of David.
I am Queen Esther. The king of Persia chose me to be his wife, not knowing I was Jewish. I risked my life to go before the king and plead for the lives of my people.
In Persia, no one, including the queen, went before the king without an invitation, or they could be killed on the spot. Esther would be risking her life. Her uncle Mordecai told her, "Who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther fasted and prayed, and when she went before the king, he held out his gold scepter. The symbol that was hung is the scepter, reminding us that we can come freely and boldly before Christ, the King of Kings.
I'm a prophet named Jonah. One day, God called me to go to Nineveh to warn them that judgment was coming because of their evil ways. Those people were enemies of Israel, and I did not want God to forgive them. Instead, I ran away, setting sail on a ship. A storm came, and I told the sailors to throw me over to save their ship. I spent 3 days in the stinking belly of a great fish before the Lord commanded it to spit me out. This time, I obeyed the Lord when he called me to go.
When the city of Nineveh heard Jonah's words, the whole city turned away from their sin and asked God for mercy. And God was loving and merciful and accepted their repentance and saved them from the disaster that he had threatened. In Matthew 12:40, Jesus compared himself to Jonah, saying, "Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." We hang the symbol of the whale, for just as the Lord sent a fish to swallow Jonah, so the Lord sent Jesus to die for our sin. Just as the Lord ordered the fish to release Jonah, so the grave had to release Jesus. It could not hold him.
I'm the prophet Micah. Let me read from my scroll. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be in their peace.
We hang the symbol of a little town of Bethlehem. Little town, that means the house of bread. A small town that was little amongst the thousands in Judah was the birthplace of Christ. The hometown of that long ago King David would welcome the birthplace of the King of Kings.
About 400 years passed in silence from the last Old Testament prophet. The Romans were now in power. The people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah. Would he ever come? The first step of God's plan to send the Messiah was about to unfold with a man named Zechariah.
I am Zechariah, and I served God in his temple. My wife Elizabeth and I followed the Lord and obeyed him.
We were getting old, and sadly, we had no children.
One day, while in the most holy place of the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to me. What an amazing thing. Gabriel told me God was going to bless us with a son. I doubted those words, forgetting that God can do anything. Suddenly, I could not speak.
Imagine my surprise when I discovered that I was going to have a baby. 6 months later, when my cousin Mary came to visit me, my baby jumped inside of me. I knew she was the mother of my Lord.
We hang a scroll with the name John. When Elizabeth gave birth to a son, Zechariah told his family in writing to name his son John, the name God had given him, and at once he could speak again. John would make a people ready for the Lord Jesus. This boy, John, would turn the children of Israel back to God and back to loving each other.
I am John the Baptist. God called me to be a prophet and sent me to the wilderness to proclaim a special message. People came from miles around and I told them to repent and turn away from their sin. And I baptized those who wanted to follow God.
John's message was so different and powerful that people began to wonder if this was the promised Messiah. But John knew he was not the one. He was only a messenger spoken by the prophet Isaiah. John told the people that one day soon another man would come, that he was not even worthy to untie his sandals. He would be the Messiah they were waiting for. We hang the sandals as a symbol of John, the forerunner of Christ.
I am Mary, the mother of the most special baby ever born. God chose me, and I agreed to be part of his plan. I gave birth in a stable. It didn't seem like a special beginning, but then shepherds came rejoicing. As Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, I tucked all these memories in my heart.
As Mary treasured all these things in her heart, we hang the symbol of a heart.
I am Joseph, a man from the royal line of David, and I am a carpenter by trade. I was Jesus' early father. I was confused and upset when I found out that Mary was having a baby, but an angel told me, do not be afraid, and name the baby Jesus, because he would save his people from their sin. I obeyed the Lord.
We hang a hammer on the tree to represent Jesus' early father.
God planned the exact moment when Jesus would come into the world to save us from our sins. Paul tells us in Galatians 4:4 that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son to redeem us so that we could be brought into God's family. God had our salvation all planned out, even before he made the world. So, it was easy for God to tell Joseph that Jesus was the one to save his people from their sins.
Jesus was both God and man. As a man, Jesus carried our sins to the cross and took our punishment. As God, he lived a perfectly holy life without sin, and became he was God. And because he was God, he grew up to heal the sick and raise the dead. Death could not win him over. Jesus came back to life on the third day, so that someday we can rise and be with him in heaven.
All of the symbols have been hung as we've journeyed through the drama of God's story. Let us, like Mary, keep all these things in our hearts and ponder him all the year long. Romans 11:36 says, all things are in him and from him and to him. Let us treasure Jesus as the only true gift.
word of thanks is due first to the three ladies who really dearly love our children and took a lot of their time to coordinate this, to Vicki, Jill, and Karen. They really do care, and you can tell. Thank you to all the children who are here, and a special thanks to those who stepped in for the ones who were sick. We had two kids and five teens who are sick today. Both of the families are ill, pretty seriously ill. So we had a number of people step in at the very last minute. So thank you. And if you wondered, wow, I thought that guy had a full beard and looked a little bit older than a teen, that was probably why. All right. All right, I have some questions today. Now, this is for the children or teens, not for adults. So let's see how you children and teens do with these questions. Here's the first one for you. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which one of the four Gospels says nothing at all about the birth of baby Jesus? Kenny? That's not right, but you are close. Henry? Which gospel says nothing about the birth of baby Jesus? Which are the four? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're right. Mark is the one who says nothing at all, not even one verse, about the birth of baby Jesus. All right, now, which gospel has the longest section, and it is a long section, about the birth of Christ? There's so many hands. Go ahead. Luke. Very good. Luke has the longest section. All right. Now, Kenny, what gospel has just one verse and one verse only? You're right. All right, it was John. So, and you know, you could even say it's hard. It's not really about the birth of Christ, but I think it is. But it is very brief. So I'm going to read this verse to you, and then a couple more questions for our young people. So here's what John says about Jesus' birth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that's all he says about Jesus' birth. Here are a couple questions for you. First, let me read it again. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? You guys already answered, so go ahead. Yes. Jesus is the Word. All right, so in the Gospel of John, several times, Jesus is called the Word. And there's a lot of deep theology about it that we won't talk about tonight. All right? What does it mean when John writes, the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh? Hannah, go ahead.
It's him dying on the cross for our sins.
Okay, him dying on the cross for our sins. Keep going, there's more. All right, somebody else? All right, go ahead. Kenny? All right, so him being born, he became flesh. Where was Jesus before he was born on earth? Whole bunch.
In heaven.
He was in heaven. Who was he? I mean, he was God, right? I mean, Jesus was God in heaven. He had angels waiting on him. He had all the glory that is due him while he was there. And then the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. He came to earth, but he wasn't born in a king's palace. He was born in a manger, in a place where animals were kept. He was born into a family that was poor and very humble. Jesus didn't choose to be honored on earth. At least not yet. He will be later. But he chose to live here, to dwell among us. And now the last question for you, and arguably the most important of all the answers that you'll give, and we may even take several answers for this one, but here's the question. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why was he born here? What was his purpose for coming? Miles? He loves us. Good. Let's keep going, because I think there are a lot of ways that you can answer this. Go ahead. Okay, what do you mean by God's plan? Because you're right, but it'd be good to hear a little more about that.
His plan to save us.
His plan to save us, all right? Let's add to it. Go ahead. To save us from our sins, Henry? To die on the cross. I mean, this is why Jesus came to earth. He was born to die. Okay, I mean, it is interesting that in all of the Bible, if you add up every single verse, there are roughly about six chapters that talk about the birth of Jesus. Okay, there is not a lot of information in the scripture about the birth of Christ. But if you want to add up all of the chapters that talk about or lead right up to the death of Christ, I mean, we're talking scores of chapters, if not more than 100 when you add it all together, right? So obviously the birth of Christ is important, but he came for the purpose of dying. And that is called by definition the good news or the gospel. Jesus, when he died on the cross, provided salvation for all of us. If you've come here tonight and perhaps you've understood that Jesus was born to die, and that you've understood that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, took all of our sins upon him, the innocent God-man died in your place so that you today could pray to him and ask for forgiveness. If you're here tonight and you have never done that before, then let tonight be the night. Don't wait till tomorrow. Talk to someone here. Maybe it's one of your relatives. Catch me after the service during the time of refreshments in the lower level. But I want to make sure that everyone who came tonight to hear, that you didn't come to hear me, and that's why I'm keeping the message short. But, you know, you came for the children. But I want to make sure that you also have heard the gospel, that Jesus loves you, as we heard the children respond, and died for you. Let's pray. Our Father tonight, we thank you for the gift of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for how his birth and life was explained in the Christmas program tonight, from the songs to especially the Jesse tree. Lord, we consider the Christmas tree just a tradition in the Western world, but we know that the ornaments that hang on this tree that the children decorated are all images of the message of the gospel and of the good news that he came to provide for us. So, Lord, may tonight and the good news of salvation be made plain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll conclude tonight with a song. Earl will lead us.
It came upon a midnight clear. We prefer using the hymnal at 251. Before we sing,